So let's give Tree of Life welcome to Richard Waller. Cheers.
Awesome. Better be good, eh?
Yeah.
Better be good. Better bring my big game to this one. It is great to be here. Heal the Nations 2015.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We're so blessed. So blessed to just have each other. You know, this doesn't really feel like anything different to any other Tree of Life church. It's just family, isn't it? In fact, there's no pressure at all. Because it's just the Word of God. All I've got to do is bring it. Bring it. It was sort of... when Ben asked me to come and speak at Heal the Nations is a big thing to me. This is the big leagues. It is. This is the big leagues, man. We've had some names at Heal the Nations, and you know it's an honour to be the warm up for Robert. Yeah. Well, do you know what? I was actually going to go on to that because. We were on the M25, you know, that car park area. And it's not even a free car park. You've got to pay to go through that thing, man. £2.50 each way. What's that all about? But I was listening to Patrick, and that was awesome, except for all the bits that you said that I'm going to say. And then when I was listening, I listened to Ben shouting at us on Wednesday, and a lot of the things were the same as well. And those, that's really encouraging when that happens. I spoke to Wendell Parr about it and said, you know, I'd been preaching at Guildford, and he came along and basically his whole message was a summary of the few weeks that I'd just been doing previously. And he said, you know, when God's got a word, when God's got a message, because this isn't about people talking to you, this is God's got a message. And he's going to give that message to everybody who's got the ability to listen to God and will just stand up in faith and say those words. And it goes to show that if it's not me, it'll be Patrick. If it's not Patrick, it'll be Ben. Whatever, God will get it to you. God will get it to you. He needs this message to come to you. And when Ben asked me to speak here, I had a real clear idea about the message I was going to bring. Because it's Heal the Nations. And I was going to basically do a message on healing. That's sort of my area, if you like. I like healing. Work for me. Works for you. Works for everyone. And I was really going to focus on that. But the Lord has shown me over the past few months, really. He's been really putting it on my heart about that ultimately healing, there's something more foundational to the healing message than healing. And your healing journey has to start from somewhere.
That's good.
There has to be a starting point to everything. When you open the Word, in the beginning, there was God. So it's got a starting point. With your healing, it's about you finding the source for your healing. That's what it's all about, because there is a source to everything biblical. There's a source. And I'm going to make a really bold statement. That's unlike me, isn't it? I make a really bold statement, and I think, my opinion, that most people's sicknesses stay with them because they focus on their sicknesses.
Yes.
And it's that keeps them sick. You know, I've heard it said before that when you magnify the Lord, you make your problems smaller. We've heard that one, right? Magnify the Lord. Makes your problem smaller. That's not right. When you magnify something, when you look through a magnifying glass or through a microscope at something, you focus only on that thing to the exclusion of everything else. When you magnify the Lord, you can't even see your sickness. Can't even see it. Doesn't exist. God. I'm looking at God. When you focus on God, all you see is God. In Acts chapter 3, when Peter and John were going to the temple to meet, they met the lame man, didn't they, at the beautiful gate. And Peter said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give to you. in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And that was a statement of complete faith and trust in the name of Jesus. And where did that trust come from? Where did that trust come from? You know, he spoke that because he knew that the name of Jesus had power. That's why he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Not in the name of Peter, not in the name of anyone else. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Because he had faith in that name and trust in that name. And where did that faith and trust in the name of Jesus come from? Peter had complete confidence in what he had, because he had complete confidence in where what he had came from. He had confidence in the source from where that power came from. Yeah. This is I'm trying to paint quite a broad picture here to show how important the source is, and you focusing on the source. Peter had complete confidence in who that power had come from. And that's because Peter had a personal relationship with that who. A personal relationship with Jesus. And taken back to its origin, taken back to the seed of that root, it was based on Jesus' unconditional love, shown towards not only Peter, but to everyone. Well, we won't mention the Pharisees and all that lot. You're right, they deserved it. And I think that the title of this message really is His Love, the foundation of everything. It's the beginning of everything. You have to believe in His love to know that He wants you well. You have to believe in His love to know that He wants you to have it all. To be a co-heir with Christ, man. That's having it all. It's nothing more to have. A co-heir with Christ. It's awesome. But how do you know that you're loved by Him? Through Scripture. Amen. Through the Word. It's the only way you can know. You can feel things, but you only know it through the Word, through His Word. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John 4. Have we got the thing up? Man, these teenagers fly across the room, don't they? Now, all the guys at Guildford, they've heard some of this because, like I say, it's been more of a series, really, at Guildford. Hey, Nora. It's been a series because, again, I'm a stickler for tiny details in the Word of God, because there's lots of words in there and they're all really important because they're inspired by God. They're God-breathed. Every tiny little bit is there for a reason. It's not an accidental throwaway word in Scripture. It all means something. And I'm going to go and read from 1 John 4, and I'm going to read from 7 to 19. Because you know what? I like reading the Word of God. Because it's all good. I'm going to read it out the New King James Version, because occasionally I get my tongue all twisted in the V and the valve, and I wouldn't want to look silly. I've even got my pastor shoes on, look. Wearing shoes. That's how serious I took today. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Saviour of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. It's because he first loved us. Do you know, love and loved is in that little section 21 times. I'm feeling the love in that little bit of scripture, man. It's awesome. If you're looking for love in your life, just read those few bits. It's full of it. In Romans 5:8, it says that God commended his love towards us while we were still sinners. Amen. Everything that we do should be in response to God's love, but not to get God's love. Because that shows us that he loves you already. You haven't got to do anything to get God's love. How cool is that?
That's awesome.
How cool is that? If you think that your good deeds are going to make God love you, then you don't know who God is. You don't know what type of love that is. This is why people of the world, if you like, the world, I know we're of the world, but you know the other people of the world, not us, the other lot. The odd ones. You know all the other odd ones out there in the world, right? That's why when they look at us, and in their eyes, we're not doing things perfectly, they think, well, how can they be Christians? They're not doing everything perfectly. What a hypocrite. You're supposed to do things perfectly as a Christian, surely. That's that performance-based system that we've been brought up in. It's nothing personal. It's just a system that we're brought up in. For, you know, since we're kids, I blame the teachers. I was just speaking to teachers earlier. It's good to be a grown-up and get a dig back at teachers. All the time, say, oh, and there's another one. Look, they're all over the place. I'd watch them. They creep up on you. It's that performance-based system that you only get a reward if you do something right. Christianity is receiving the reward because of what Jesus did right. It's not about you. When are people going to just rest? Stop doing stuff, man. If you try to be good so that God accepts you, you've missed it completely. If you try to behave in a certain way to get your healing from God, you've missed it.
Come on.
God doesn't relate to us based on our performance, praise Jesus.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the hardest things for the religious mind to grasp. In fact, not just the religious minds, just the mind. Everyone's mind to grasp the fact that it's not about anything that you're doing. It's about what he's already done. People have got their philosophy of how the kingdom of God works. They've got this idea that this is how God should do things. A good God would do it the way I think that a good God should do it. It's like, you know, as we heard with those testimonies, The way it happens isn't the way that you could possibly ever think of it happening. God's ways are so much better than our ways. When you try and sort of pigeonhole him and go, well, God, you need to do this, you've missed it again. You need to just let God do what he knows how to do. Stop sticking your nose in where it's not needed. Amen. And these people who've got this philosophy of how God works, I'm actually going to nick an Andrew Womack line here, because, you know, he's not here. We haven't got to pay him for it. Oh, yeah. Anyway, my name's Benjamin Conway, and these people do not let the Bible get in the way of what they believe. And I come across it all the time. You can speak scripture to people and they just won't have it. Just to sideline. This is the mentality that we come across often when we promote scripture, if you like. We were at a barbecue with my brother-in-law. Lovely, awesome, fantastic. Sitting there having a barbecue. I wasn't driving, so I had a beer. And just to offend everyone that thinks that a pastor shouldn't drink a beer. Yeah. So I had four beers. And we were discussing wasps. Because as you do, it's Britain and it's summertime, right? So we were discussing wasps. Or the Latin being Vespula Germanica. But I won't bore you with my bastard. it's because I'm wearing posh shoes. I'm speaking Latin. So anyway, I know about... If I want to talk about a subject, I think the best thing you can do is learn something about the subject. Just an old-fashioned notion. Before you start talking about stuff, actually learn what you're talking about. Just to all those blokes down the pub who think they know everything about everything, but they don't. The wasp, right, the wasps that we have in Britain, they're not indigenous to Britain. They were introduced to Britain in the 1940s. They were brought here from South Africa, the particular one that we have. And they were brought here as sort of your germ warfare, really, to swarm and eat all of the cattle. Because that's what they do out there. They swarm and they eat cattle. So we all know what was going on in the 1940s. And apparently they were brought over here to infest the country. Interesting, isn't it? Blimey, I hope it is true. I'm looking at very stunned faces. Just one of you going, yeah, I heard that as well. Yeah, I read that. So anyways, but they didn't swarm, but they're still annoying, right? So, this isn't the point of the story. So, very annoying. We like bees, don't we? Bumblebees. Because they're British. British bumblebees are a bit like the British, bumbling around a bit, bumping into windows, you know. But lovely with it. Lovely with it. And so we're chatting about the wasps, and I was saying about how on the fence, you know these, you have fences, we have these feather edge fence panels, and there's all like patches missing from the stain, the varnish on his fence. I said, that's your wasps as well. He went, what? Yeah, that's your wasps, because your wasps, you know, they build their nests out of like pulp. It's wood. And what they do is they go up to the fence panels, they love it, and they their teeth on it, and they go, and they scrape it all off of their teeth, chew it up in their little waspy mouths, and they fly off and they spit it out and make their nests. So Jacqueline and I had been at another friend's sitting there, and we were like, what's that scratching noise? And it was our other friend, Daryl, who told us about the wasps, and we watched them doing it. Wow, awesome. You could hear them scratching and eating. And so when you see those patches on fences, it's where they've chewed it all up. So we've witnessed this with our own eyes. We've been given the information, the truth of what this is by someone else. We sat there and went, that's your wasps, that is. Told him, he went, nah, I don't believe it. Two people that you're related to and you know really well are telling you something that we've seen, we've heard, we've got all the facts, and you still don't believe it. No wonder they can't believe the gospel. You just got to live it. You just got to live it. Don't try and... I've gone off on a tangent there, but, you know, trying to convince someone with words isn't going to work when you're giving them the truth, the facts, the information, an eyewitness account. Man, people are stupid, aren't they? Obviously not this lot. I just want to add something else as well. And this I'm stealing from Dwayne Sheriff. As Benjamin Conway. Doing in person. I've just got to say that doing something wrong for years does not make it right.
Just thought I'd throw that in.
It just means you've been doing something wrong for a really long time and you've convinced yourself that it's right. You know what? Even if you mix a little Jesus and a little tradition and a little old and a little new and a little you, makes you wrong. You're just wrong. Amen. Ben said it before. God loves us because God is lovely, not because we're lovable. And it's true. We're not lovable. Except for me. This is quite a bold statement. Learn to appreciate the gift of love.
Yeah, that's good.
It's unearned, it's unmerited, it's the favour of God. We have a struggle accepting nice things, don't we? People do. Oh, you're looking nice today. Oh no, my hair's terrible. You know, people never accept the nice thing. I don't get it. But it's expanded when you don't accept the gift of love from God. We just read it in verse 8 back there. God is love. He pours it out, man. He just pours it out. And all you ever need to do is receive it and pass it on. Just to jump in there, don't beat yourself up when you don't pass it on. And you make a mistake and you get it wrong and you miss an opportunity to be lovely. Because we all do it. And there's another little sneaky trick there from Satan to just try and get you on that. Well, you know, you're not very nice, are you? You weren't nice to that person. You didn't extend love to that person. You're all lovely and you're all still loved by God, regardless of whether you're lovely or not. You see, you've got to go back to the source. It's not about what you do. Your distribution of God's love has got zero effect on the supply. How you distribute it doesn't stop it coming. The origin of love is God. You cannot affect that source. Your actions do not stop God's love flowing towards you. Just relax. You don't have to force yourself to love God. Just focus on how much He loves you. And when you do that, the flow just starts. Your love then flows back to the Father. And then it just flows out to other people. I know that God loves me, so I can do things for other people out of that love. A couple of weeks ago, I paid for the food of the guy behind me at the drive-thru. And I didn't do it to get acknowledged for it, and I'm not sharing the story for you to go, oh, wow, he's so groovy, although I am, in the eyes of God. I just did it. I didn't want to be acknowledged for it. I didn't want anything for it. I just... The girl was... What? I said, yeah, can I just pay for that old... Oh, I don't know if you can do that. I said, yeah, I can do that. Just, you know, I'll pay for that. Thank goodness. All he wanted was an Egg McMuffin meal, and he wasn't... He didn't have 10 kids in the car. But I did that out of love. God's kind of love. And I'll tell you why it's God's kind of love, because it wasn't based on anything that person had done.
Yeah.
He could have been the worst person in the world. He could have been a mass murderer. It didn't matter. He still received God's love, the free gift of love. It wasn't based on anything that he'd done. It was based on what God has done for me. I'm blessed to be a blessing to others. We're all blessed to be a blessing to others, amen? And once we take our focus off what we want from God, we can start to move freely in the way that He wants us to move. He wants us to be in a relationship with Him. I know I know we all know this stuff. But I was talking to Pete earlier. Some of us need to be told two or three times. Some of us a few times more. Any of you that are parents out there know that the kids need to be told a lot more than two. I've been saying some things for 15 years over, and I say the same thing every week. This foundational stuff is important. Because you can't build on anything unless you've got the foundation right. If you spend your time thinking and meditating on what you need, the only relationship that you're going to have is with your thoughts of what you need. There won't be time for a relationship with God. And then before you know it, you get all wrapped up in yourself and what you need. And you get all wrapped up into this tiny little package that nothing gets out of and definitely nothing can get into. You know, God can't work through that. It's true that God wants the best for you. We know that, right? God wants the best for you. And he will give you the desires of your heart, it says in Psalms 37:4. But the desires of your heart have to line up with God's desires for that to happen. If the desire of your heart is to run off with your best friend's wife, God isn't going to allow that one to happen. But when you focus on the unconditional love of God, you'll notice that the desires of your heart change. It's sort of like it's a bit of a trick one, really, that God's going to give you the desires of your heart. You think, oh wow, yeah, I'm going to get everything I wanted. But the more you focus on God, the more your heart changes, and what you want changes. And that's when it comes into play, God flowing through you. It all needs to link up. And when that happens, you become available to God. You become available to God. It's a prayer that I pray often. Well, it's just something I say. God, I'm available. I'm available. It's as simple as that. You know, you're not going to force God to do anything, and God isn't going to force you to do anything. He's definitely not going to force you to do anything against your will. He wants you to be a part of him doing his will. God flows through people. It's how he does it. It's how he's always done it. You know, God is speaking to you today through Patrick, through the worship. People have got skin on, stand in front of you. That's how God gets a message out to you. God flows through people. You're his hands and his feet. Man, that should light your fire. To know that you've got the opportunity to do God's will. To be a part of God's will. That excites me. Wow. God working through you. In the simplest of things. Paying for someone's food. You know. And if anyone's thinking, oh, not me. God can't use me. You're right. It's a harsh one, that, isn't it? But how you think makes all the difference. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I think someone used that on the first day. Oh, I went. Proverbs 23:7. If you think it's not you, it's not you. It's not you, it won't be you. And that right there is why it can't be based, even for a second, on what you think about you. It has to be based on what God thinks about you. And how do we know that? His word. I know this is real, this could be come across as real like Christianity 101, step one, but sometimes we need to go and do it like that, you know. God's word has been there since the beginning of time. Right at the beginning, he spoke everything into existence. His word, he loves you. He loves you. You were created out of love. And that, I'm going to get onto that word love. Because when you say that word love, we all have an image or an idea that springs up from those four letters of what love is. We use our human way of deciding what love is through our experiences. You know, I said the other day, you know, it's not that hippie kind of love. No offence to any hippies. I'm sure they're all lovely. It's not that God's driving around in a gold-plated Volkswagen combi van with long hair, you know, and flowers sticking out the windows. It's not that hippie kind of love. It's way beyond that. It's not the human love. It's way beyond that. And mostly because it's absolute, well, in fact, wholly because it's not based on our loveliness. It's based on His holiness. It's all based on His love towards us. And His love is the most powerful force in the universe. It's the most powerful force in the universe. That trumps any ideas in you that you've got in your psyche about what love is. Love, God's love, is the most powerful force in the universe. And it's His love towards us, for God so loved the world, John 3:16. It's God's type of love. And it's because of God's type of love that we are all righteous in His eyes. We're the righteousness of God. Awesome. Have we done the declarations here?
We've got different ones for healing.
We're the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God. Don't ever get bored of saying that. We're the righteousness of God. How cool is that? And it's because of that love that we've been able to receive complete forgiveness of our sins. So I'm trying to really, really clear up that it's nothing about what you've done, going to do, thought about, said, nothing. Nothing about you at all, right? So we've got complete forgiveness of our sins, and it's because of that love that we can receive complete freedom to be victorious in every situation that we face. We're no longer bound by the things of this world. That's what freedom is. You're not bound by the things of this world. That's awesome, isn't it? We don't have to respond to situations the way that the rest of the world does. And we definitely don't have to respond to situations in the way that we've always done it. Those habitual ways of dealing with stuff. Oh, typical me. What's that all about? All those little things are really important. They will show you how you think about you. Oh, I'm always getting things wrong. Stop it. Leave yourself alone. Just leave yourself alone. We're born again. We're born again. We're brand new creations. We can enter into the presence of God. We can boldly enter His throne room. You don't have to do anything to get accepted any more than that. You're fully accepted. You got backstage passes all the way. You know, I told you about me paying for the guy's food behind me. And that's like an example of how a person receives from God, not based on what they've done. But there's also my side to that transaction as well. I didn't do it to earn any points in heaven. Well, I did. I did it because it felt great. It was exciting to do God's will. It's exciting to do God's will. It's exciting to be like Jesus. We're like Jesus. You're not a Christian to be a Christian. You get to be a Christian to be Jesus to people. To do God's will. That's awesome. You don't give to get. You give because you can. And there's no better reward than just doing God's will. There's no better reward than just doing God's will. Doing His will is the reward. It is the reward. And the reward is because you get a chance to love people. Was that a bit, woo? Why not? Woo! To love people. You get a chance to love people. You get a chance not to hate on people. Man. And for no other reason than the fact that you are loved by him. Does that clear it up for anybody? If there was any doubt? So anyway, so it's all about Jesus and us not stopping the flow of him through us. How am I doing for time? You know, it's impossible for any of us to know what following Jesus, letting God flow through us, it's impossible for us to know what the end result of that will be. It's impossible to know. You know, we've got our Tree of Life missionaries. Did you know we have Tree of Life ministries, missionaries out in Albania land? All the Albanians, God bless them. Mikey and Lucas Port out in Albania right now doing it for Tree of Life. Hallelujah. That's so exciting. But that's not the sort of life that a careers officer could have offered them. Is it? It was not a life that anyone could plan. We know at Tree of Life that you get jobs that you didn't apply for. Amen. You know, I couldn't have planned ever or even considered that I would be up here doing this with you guys. You know, this is supernatural. And it's come from complete surrender and trust in God. Mikey and Lucas are out in Albania because of complete surrender and trust in God, in him. See? It's exciting. This time next year, you could be in another country changing lives. Or you could be here changing lives. I don't know. None of us know. Who knows? Can we go to Matthew 9:9? I'll read it out of here because I've lost my teenager look. I love this. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said, Jesus said to him, Matthew, follow me. So he arose and he followed him. Follow me. That's all Jesus said. That's all he said. Two words. Did Matthew ask to see a miracle first? Did Matthew ask to see the game plan? Did Matthew say, well, I've got a business to run, man. I've got responsibilities here. It was a simple statement by Jesus, and because Matthew believed and trusted in Jesus, he followed him without asking any questions. We've got no reason to be afraid of anything. Anything when we've opened ourselves up to God. No reason to be afraid of anything. Perfect love casts out fear. 1 John 4:18, amen. And we have got no good reason to be afraid of making a total commitment to Jesus because of his undeniable love for us. It's undeniable. I'll tell you why. Well, I can say it's undeniable. Jesus died a horrible death on the cross for us. And regardless of the whole salvation, healing, heaven, eternal life, joy, peace, happiness, power, free from sickness, free from poverty, regardless of all of that, Jesus, the man, got nailed to a cross because he loved you. That's awesome love. That's awesome love. And he said, follow me. And that should be your motivation right there. He said, that man who showed his love, he said, follow me. Once you forsake or give up looking to the things of this world to bring you joy, etc., 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 and look to Jesus and then allow him to work through you, you'll find the strength to deal with any and every situation that you come across. Any situation. Every situation. Because it's not about your strength, it's about his strength. And his strength is more than enough to deal with anything. Hallelujah. And we've got access to it. Free access to the power to deal with everything, ever. How can I make that a little bit more clearer? Any situation, every situation. Now, I've cast my cares upon God, so I don't care what any of you say to me about how tough it is for you. We all have tough stuff. Jesus, the power of Jesus, deals with every and any situation. Focus on Jesus, not on your problems. We've all got problems, man. We've all got problems, but we've all got Jesus. And he makes you more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. Hallelujah. Right, I'm going to go on to Galatians 2:20. Ben preached a nice little series on Galatians recently. I love Galatians as well. I've got a lot of time for Paul because he didn't pull any punches. And we haven't got time to pull any punches because this is a life and death situation. There are people dying. In fact, here's a newsflash. We're all dying. This body is dying. You haven't got that much time. Really, life is fleeting. Fleeting, 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 fleeting. There's a lot of work to be done. Amen. And so focus on God, not on your problems. And get moving. Get moving. Do something through the power of God. Anyway, so Paul was here going, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish?" I love the way he just keeps calling them foolish. I love it. "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfected by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of law or by the hearing of faith?" See, it shows that it's him living through you. Oh, look, I read the wrong scripture. I read the next bit, but that's a great bit of scripture. I might read it again anyway, because even if you read it wrong, it ain't wrong. Scripture's all right. Yeah, it's only a little short bit. 2:20 is, "I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain." So see how he says it's him living, it's got a Jesus living through you that makes all the difference. And when you read on in, this is like the key bit for it here for me, when you read on into 21, it says, "I do not set aside the grace of God." You see, it's up to us not to set aside the grace of God. That's what it says, setting aside the grace of God. And if you go, if you do set aside the grace of God and go back to the, you go back to the law way of thinking. If you set aside the grace of God, the only thing left is a law way of thinking. If it's not about the grace of God, what's it about? You? Sort of simple, isn't it? And that way you think that you go back to thinking that it's about what you do that makes the difference. And as soon as you do that, you've stripped away the power of the cross. As soon as you make it about what you do, you stop the flow of Jesus through you. And this is why we see so many powerless Christians in the world. And this is why the world sees the church as powerless. Because it is. It is. I've been in them. Yes. Been in loads of them. Powerless. Because they've stopped the flow of Jesus. They've added to the beautiful simplicity of follow me. It's a beautiful exchange of life. when you follow Jesus. It's wonderful. But what they do is how am I going to say this to quickly get through it? He takes away the sins of the world, your sins, and replaces them with his grace, which is his power, because it's his love. You see, his love is the power. His love is why the grace comes, and through that we get the power. I've already read that bit in Galatians there. I knew I was going to read it, but I've read it already. What Paul is saying here with your oh foolish generations, and this is just to kind of pep us up a bit, we're not the first generation to get it wrong. And I'm telling you right now that this house, this tree of life, will stand on the word of God. The tree of life church will not be divided. This church is being built on the complete works of Christ. Just as Ben said it would. Ben said it was going to be done a certain way. It's being done a certain way. And we will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the key. It's the source. It's the truth. It's everything. It's life. It alone is the power unto salvation. It alone will set the captives free. And it alone will change this nation one person at a time. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. We're building something here. And the foundation is on solid ground, hallelujah. It's on the word of God. It's Christ living through us that makes all the difference. And that's the secret to a victorious Christian life. Him living through you. It's not actually us living for Jesus, because we've heard that one before. I'm living for Jesus. It's allowing Jesus to live through us. Anything other than that will gradually lead you back to a law mentality. And the law has always focused on the outer man, what we do, what other people see us do. Grace focuses on the inner man and tells us what has already been done. I heard Patrick say today something that Jesus said. It's finished. It is finished. It is completed. The debt was paid. The job is done. Amen. And when we rest in what Christ has done, we're free from having to do anything. And that includes worrying about stuff. Worrying about stuff is doing something. We're free from having to do that. We haven't got to worry about money. We haven't got to worry about the government. We haven't got to worry about global warming, or it's changed now, isn't it? It's not global warming, it's climate change now, because it didn't get any warmer. Not round here, anyway. Well, we can't call it global warming. It's just rubbish. Climate change. You don't have to worry about anything. All stuff. All stuff. Any and every situation. Regardless of how anything looks in the natural, we walk in the power of the supernatural. Hallelujah. And how can you follow Jesus unless you have complete faith in his words, his love, his power? It has to go beyond everything that you see and you taste and you touch and you hear and you smell. It has to. Because the Christian life isn't hard to live. It's completely impossible. It's impossible to live the Christian life in this society in your own strength. So the only way you do that is to believe in what he said. No watering it down, and definitely no watering it down to be politically correct. Man, that phrase just does me in. As Guildford knows, I've changed politically correct to being biblically incorrect. Not wanting to upset anyone. Man, not wanting to upset anyone. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew 10. Matthew 10, 33 to 39. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. And in my opinion, that's why the church and many Christians are powerless in this world, because they've been swayed. I love that, swayed. The Bible says don't be swayed. It's like just a gentle shoving you off the right path. You don't even notice it when you've been swayed. And it's a great word to use, because you're not dragged off the path, you're just swayed. And I think that the church has been swayed by the philosophies of this world. And in turn, as I said earlier, the church is mixing a little Jesus with a little law and a little political idealism. And what happens then is it comes up empty. In fact, I'm going to go in my Bible, which is the Word of God, which is all I use, because you can't argue with me if it's in here. Well, you could, I guess, but I wouldn't listen. Because as Andrew Womack says, if I start agreeing with you, then we'll both be wrong. Okay, Isaiah 32:6, it says, have you got that up there? Isaiah 32:6. Okay. For the foolish person will speak foolishness, and in his heart will work iniquity. And up there it says, to practice ungodliness, to utter error concerning the Lord, to leave the craving of the hungry unsatisfied, and to deprive the thirsty of drink. In this translation here, it says that they will come up empty. It's empty. The people who are hungry for God are not finding him in churches. And most people don't look to the source. They look to the people who say they are the source. They say that they've got the answers. They say that they've got a direct line to God. Come to us, all who are heavy laden, not come to him. They might use the name of Jesus as a draw, but once the people are drawn, then they're hung and quartered and by this wishy-washy, part-saved, part-law message. And that goes back to the downfall, which is guaranteed when the law mentality is mixed in with the gospel of Jesus. If it ain't Jesus, it ain't gospel, amen. Can we go to Luke 5, 36 to 37? We all know this parable. Then he spoke a parable to them. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one, otherwise the new makes a tear. And also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. And the next bit goes, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. Now, new unfermented wine had to go into a new wineskin to allow the fermentation gases to expand. If you put new wine into an old skin, the old skin would burst and the new wine was lost. The wine was good, but the carrier wasn't able to hold it because it couldn't stretch. The Old Testament laws could not and cannot stretch. They're engraved on stone. There's no movement. Zero flexibility. No room for grace and mercy. Jesus came to replace the old with the new. He came to set us free. And he said it, so it must be true.
Yes.
Don't listen to anything that's contrary to that.
Go on,
not even for a moment. Even when it's a thought in your own mind. Yeah. Jesus replaced the law. What Jesus did was all good, but you can't carry that around in an old law mindset. Not even a little bit. Because if you do, you miss out on the wholeness offered by God by wrong thinking about yourself and God. The word says, like I said before, we can enter boldly into the throne room of God. The word boldness there can also be translated as confidence. And this is how we can be confident, like Matthew was, in following Jesus, and how we can be confident in telling other people to follow Jesus. Don't make the mistake that the religious scribes and the Pharisees of Jesus' day made, and indeed the mistakes that many religious leaders today are making, trusting their own actions and efforts to produce right standing with God. Jesus didn't come to receive our sacrifices. He came to be the sacrifice for us, to pay the price in full for your freedom. I'm happy, because I'm free. Amen? Don't lock yourself back up again in the law, in thinking that it's about what you do, not even for a moment. When other people see you living in freedom, they'll want to know why, and you can give them a really simple truth. I chose to follow Jesus. Amen. And I chose to follow Jesus because he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I guess really, that's my message. I could go on for ages, because it's my favourite subject, you know. It's my favourite subject. You know, if you were able to make someone happy, you'd do it all the time, wouldn't you? If you're able to set someone free from sickness, from depression, from poverty, why would you not want to do it all the time? I love the opportunity to share the word of God with you. And hopefully it's reminded you about who that source is. The source is God. And you can't change God. You can't change God. Doesn't matter what you do, the flow of love will keep on coming. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you loved us first. Yes. Thank you that you have given us power through the name of Jesus. Thank you that we are free. We're free in the name of Jesus. There is nothing on this earth that can have victory over us, because you've already had victory over the earth. We are more than conquerors in your name, Jesus. And we thank you for that, Father. We thank you for this meeting. And every single person in this room is blessed. Amen. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Let's go and have some tea and whatnot. Glory to God.